Welcome back, everyone, to Mental Health Matters, another great, exciting show for us today. Today, we've got two wonderful special guests to talk about drug and alcohol prevention and different perspectives on how we address that. With me, as always, is my great co-host,
Rob Huber, and you're listening to KRUU 100.1 FM, solar-powered radio in Fairfield, Iowa. Welcome back.
Welcome back. And do email us at KRUUFM.com. Today's special guest...
My name is Kitty Vogel. I am a certified prevention specialist. I work at CETA in Ottumwa. We cover 10 counties, Jefferson
being
one.
Explain what CETA is.
CETA is a community action agency. So our goal is to help people meet their needs, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. And I work in the behavioral health and treatment department, prevention division. And as a certified prevention specialist, my job is to educate and inform people about the effects of substance abuse, give people the best information that I can so they can make the most positive lifestyle choices.
Wow.
So that's what I do.
That's great. Mm. And another special guest, Kathy.
Hello. My name is Kathleen Casey, and I'm very happy to be here. This topic is quite a passion of mine.
And you have quite a bit of experience and knowledge in this field.
I do. I got into recovery from living with alcoholism about 38 years ago. And I've been in Al-Anon and various recovery programs.
But you also have quite an extensive educational background as well.
I do. I was trained as a chemical dependency counselor. So actually, I really wanted to go into prevention. But I didn't. And that's really what I wanted to do. So this is just the most important.
I finally got into prevention after 20 years, my own prevention. So, right.
What does that mean, Rob?
Well, I'm a recovering drug and alcohol addict, and so the prevention is an important thing to me, but only after I practiced for 20 years. So, Kitty,
is that okay to talk about? I mean, when people talk about their stories, I often wonder about. Is it okay? I mean, it seems for both of you guys well past you. Like, this isn't part of your current narrative of who you are. This is your past. And you could joke about it. You could sit there and say, yeah, this is who I was. But, you know, I learned from it. I grew. And now I'm somebody else. Is that really the end result that people should look at? Like, there's some point past where we are today.
I think so. Absolutely. I think the whole difficulty is that it's shame-based, and people have a lot of shame around this.
Yeah.
Yes. So when you recognize, you know, that you can let go of the alcoholic and other drugs, addict, husband, father, whatever, and you let go and you don't focus on that person, and then you start living your own life, and taking responsibility for yourself instead of blaming the alcoholic, that's really recovery. And it goes for the family, too. You know, it's a whole family disease, and it affects the whole family. So as soon as everybody can step back and take responsibility and understand, pass for now.
You hit the right word, I think, or a lot of the right words, but recovery. You know, for so many years, alcohol and drug addicts were viewed as non-recovering people, that you know, that they were non-redeeming, and there wasn't anything good about them, or there wasn't anything that could be good about them. And it's telling the story, like you and I are telling the story. It's telling the story that has opened that all up and has said, yes, you can recover. And yes, you know, people have this problem. And you know, recovery is part of it, but you know, before recovery is prevention, and that's what Kitty's here for. So let's move back into prevention and talk about what you do.
Well, and one thing I will say is that, you know, when people talk about their stories, I think it's great because it's that ray of hope for people who have not yet made it into recovery, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Other people have done it. So I think it's important that people share their stories on where they've been and what's happened. So.
And the story is just a story. What's important is what are we doing with our stories in this
life? That's right.
You know, and so it gives us power. And it's really wonderful that you guys can share what's happened and get that this isn't part of who you are today. You created a new person. And you learn and grew from this, obviously, both of you, which is amazing.
Well, so and you know, when we talk about recovery, and I think everybody that you talk to in recovery would say, I wish I had known more things before I started using, or I wish I had made different, you know, decisions. So I think prevention is really important because we're, you know, stopping anything from occurring. So we're stopping substance abuse or stopping substance addiction before it actually occurs. If we can get people that information, get them that knowledge, it's really hard to make good decisions if you don't have the right information. So that's part of what prevention is getting that information out there, the most up-to-date information that we can give people to make the best decisions that they actually can.
So how do you actually create prevention for people?
What I actually do in my job is I travel all over the place in the 10 counties. I work with all age levels, from small children all the way up to senior citizens. I work with all kinds of groups. We have a coalition here in Jefferson County, the Jefferson County Alcohol Consumption Task Force, that was brought together a bunch of different agencies and people to help combat the issue of underage drinking. When we all got together, it was because of a grant, a state grant, and what we were looking at was the levels of underage drinking within the state. And unfortunately, at that time, Jefferson County was number 2 in the state for underage drinking. So it was really important that that coalition got started. And
what year was that?
It was 3 years ago.
And what about now? How are they doing?
We've dropped considerably. I want to say 35th in the state. I'm not sure. 36. But yeah, 30. Yeah. So
really?
It's dropped considerably
and
just
why?
From
what,
the work.
Well, so what have you guys done to actually make a difference for individuals?
We have done the prevention work. We have gotten out there. We've gotten information to community members. We've done town hall meetings. Law enforcement is part of the coalition. Public health is part of the coalition, the hospital, the schools. I mean, we've got all the different sectors of the population in on the coalition that are actually working to get that information out to everybody. So, I think we've made a huge difference.
Let me just interrupt them. Tell us a little bit more about the coalition, because Kathy, you were at a meeting, I think, with the coalition the other day.
Yes, I go to the meetings, yes.
Yeah, and they meet how often, and who you were mentioning who are some of the members of it?
I want to say it's the second or third Monday of the month, second Monday of the month, at noon at the Iowa State Extension Office at the fairgrounds. If that's not right, you can always contact the Extension Office. It's open to anybody. We want the public to be part of it. Community members are welcome. Agencies are welcome. Anybody who wants to participate.
So this is the same, for instance, if somebody in Chicago, let's say, is listening to this, there would be coalitions, there would be groups there as well trying to combat this.
Yes, yes.
And this is a universal theme around the world of trying to create more prevention. So prevent the problem before it occurs, right?
Sure. It's much easier to prevent a problem than it is to deal with the after effects, you know, of substance abuse and addiction. You know, when we talk about youth, it's much easier to teach them how to not use, to say no, to make better decisions than it is to deal with the after effects should they become addicted. So, you know, prevention is the way to go. It's what we need to do, you know. So,
yeah, you're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 FM radio in Fairfield, Iowa.
And we broadcast 6:30 at Tuesday nights, and we broadcast 12:30 Thursday afternoons. So listen on in. We're archived now, finally, sort of. And we're in process.
All right.
And we want you to email us, KRUUFM.com. Email us, mentalhealthmatters@KRUUFM.com. Anyways, Kitty, so I'd like to hear more specifics. Like, tell me something you would actually do with a client, for example. An individual would listen who's thinking, you know, they're maybe getting to the edge where they need your services.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't do counseling. Okay? I do prevention. And we work.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is prevention is before it occurs, to give you the education, and treatment is what happens after somebody has an issue or a problem. So I can tell you some of the things that I do. We go into the schools. We work with classes. We teach different curriculums that are evidence-based or science-based programs to teach young children about the effects of substances. We work with alcohol retailers to teach them how to ID and what to look for so they're not selling to minors. We work with senior citizens. You know, we don't just talk about alcohol, but, you know, we teach, you know, medication safety. We talk about bullying. I'm a certified DUI instructor, so that's another part of my job. We do drug-free workplace trainings. We do so many different things in the area of prevention. We're not limited to just, you know, one thing. So it's an interesting field, and it's a broad field. So.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you wouldn't think about seniors normally as being a population that might be abusing, but obviously just with medications that they're given. And sometimes it's unintentional. They're given too much opiates, and they don't realize that they're actually getting addicted to the medication.
That's correct. And sometimes we teach them just how do you talk to your doctor? Here's some questions to ask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing, you know, prevention can be even just the smallest things, but it can lead to bigger issues and help people open up and ask the right questions. So, yeah, we've actually done really well when we talk to the seniors. So,
you said, Scott, that addiction in senior citizens was kind of something new to you or something, but excuse me, having served churches in small communities in Iowa and Nebraska, alcohol addiction is a very serious thing, and primarily because of isolation in small towns, and the older you get, the less friends you have, and so, you know, the kind of thing that Kitty's talking about is that prevention is building organizations that reach out and administer to you know, loneliness of people and to isolationism, and you know, rural areas are really famous for isolation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. From in Chicago, where I'm from, the notion is that there's so many people, and so you're not alone. But in a sense, it's almost worse because there's so many people, and you feel so alone. And I think I think the addiction stuff becomes a little different in different populations, especially along ethnic and gender lines and other kinds of things. But it is fascinating how it plays out. But in the end, it's still coming back to what am I doing to prevent something? In, you know, I'm sort of on the other side of the coin, right? I'm the therapist on the other side. And my thing is looking at why is a client running away? And essentially, do you need to keep running? Is there still a tiger in your room? You know, like, no, the tiger is not in the room. I'm not in fight or flight. I'm actually safe right now, and I don't need to run right now, and it's okay.
Right, and prevention is a lot of like that in a way. You know, we're building connections with people. Just because we go out to give the information doesn't mean everybody's receptive to it. So we have to build those relationships and make people comfortable with us and willing to talk to us and willing to listen to the messages that we have. So, you know, a lot of what I do is building those relationships with people.
Organizations and people get connected with you?
Well, I work at the CETA building in Ottumwa. So people,
there is CETA here in
there is CETA here in Jefferson County. Anyone at the CETA office can contact me. They all know me, you know. So, but I do work out of the Ottumwa office. People can contact the CETA office in Ottumwa and get a hold of me. I'm trying to think of other ways for people to contact me, but
even like, for instance, again, let me use the example. I can come back to this. Okay. So if I'm in Chicago right now listening mm-hmm. to this, there would be organizations, and I think a main thrust of all our shows is then they're saying, don't be in thought, don't be in emotion, be in action.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're in danger or somebody, your friend, loved one, is a bit too lost in what they're doing, whatever the addiction is, that reach out and find somebody. And sometimes right. it's treatment, and other times it's really like, no, my child might be going down that path, and I want to prevent my child from going down that path. And to not ever be in denial about an issue, but to sit there and go, what's the next step? Because that's where your power is. That's where your control is.
I think the interesting thing when you say that, Scott, is that when people live with drug addiction, it's very painful for everybody. And the way that people protect themselves is by using defense mechanisms and denial and blaming and rationalizing are all a part of that, all the family members and friends, whoever interacts. So you're inside of the addiction with them.
Mm.
And you're
That's
not
a lovely phrase.
Mm-hmm, you're in it with them. You're dancing the dance, even though the people around don't know that, because they are in it. But I want to say that my passion, my thrust, is to have prevention in the schools, down into the grade schools, teach the children how to communicate, how to share feelings, encourage teachers to share their feelings, and to you know, like Kitty said, don't bully, and that's a whole thing. But the problem is, if children are not in touch with their emotions, and they're living in a situation like that at home or at school, where kids are really rough, they will. Oh my golly, I'm having a senior moment. I do this. Can't believe it.
But by bullying or something, it really takes you down that path, because, again, those words you start talking about, denial and
yes.
shame and all those things, and you start internalizing
yes,
that.
Yes, that's right.
Then who do you turn to? What do you turn to? And that's where the addiction. And so that's why it's so essential to deal with the bullying and the things that create the steps before the addiction.
Well, it's a while before you get addicted. First, you have to use a substance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so when you start, you know, fooling around, and maybe you're, you know, 12, 8, or, you know, whatever, and you start drinking the cocktails after your parents' party, and you really like it, and you remember that, you go back to that. So it's using chemicals to numb the pain. And then they like it. People like that, and they stick with it.
Mm.
And it grows. And then one day, after a while, they've gone through the use, they've gone through the abuse, and then they go through the addiction. And the addiction is an invisible line that they never know that they cross.
Mm, that's really fascinating. Yes. I love how you said that. But also, you know, it's really interesting what else you said, is another population people don't think of. People don't think that, you know, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, for God's sake, is what they're innocent. What do you mean they're drinking after the cocktail? You know, it doesn't make sense to most parents. Just like the seniors, it wouldn't make sense. And so it's kind of like going, everybody's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can we do And this comes back to the prevention thing. So specifically, what can they do? But before we say that, let's say...
This is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler, and you're listening to KRUU 100.1 FM solar-powered radio in Fairfield, Iowa, the awesome station of the Midwest.
I like the awesome. And we are talking about drug and alcohol prevention today, by the way.
Well, and one of the things people have to remember is, you know, one sector of the population isn't just responsible for teaching our children. Right? Mm. So it's not just the schools, it's not just the parents, it's not just, it takes everybody working together.
It does take a family.
It does.
It does take a community.
It does.
Take our, yeah.
So, you know, parents have to be talking to their children. And it's not just, don't just have that one conversation.
Yeah.
You have to have the conversation over and over and over again
and
with
over
your children.
And over and over again.
And remember to listen to your children as well as talk, you know, you're talking
yeah.
with them, talking to them, don't talk at them. And
well, I think that's so key because so many parents talk at their children. I told them this.
Right.
No, that doesn't mean they heard a word you said. You know, it's really about establishing critical thinking skills. And if you could establish them to think about critical thinking issues, no matter what it is, about this person or that person or a school or how would they approach it, instead of lecturing, which
yes.
all of us do too much, get them to say what they think.
And look for the teachable moments. Just anything, you know,
anything.
Watching
and if they could do that,
something on television, just
exactly.
something simple.
And if they could learn from those moments how to think critically, then when it comes down to the choices, and that's all is a choice of going down that path to drug and alcohol addiction, and that invisible line, as you said, beautifully said, gets crossed, you know, so before the problem happens, establish this critical thinking skills. It's not always directly about drug and alcohol. It could
right.
be about what you think about whatever.
Right.
Right?
You've got to keep those lines of communication open. Lines of communication between a parent and a child, lines of communication between teachers and students, line of communication between community members. I mean, we just have to start talking to each other, listening to each other. You know, you just can't stop. You know, we're caring, and we need to make sure people understand that we care about each other.
Yeah.
Lines of communication. What's your email address, Kitty?
K Bogle. It's kbogle@sieda.org.
What is Bogle?
B-O-G-L-E. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And your phone number?
641-682-8741. You can get a hold of me that way.
And finally, what's the address of where is CETA located?
My office is in Ottumwa, and it's at 226 West Main, Ottumwa, Iowa, and we are on the fifth floor.
Okay.
And CETA in Fairfield is right beside the post office extension, and I'm not sure what that address is out
okay.
there.
To, yeah. But anyways, can you give your address again? And what I want to know is if somebody contacted you, let's say, from outside this region, could mm-hmm. you direct them to within the region?
I would do the best that I could.
Okay.
I probably at least get them closer to finding the resources that
or
they're going
to
need.
Or who to actually ask the question. So if somebody, right. again, is listening in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will do everything that we can.
Fancy.
Not saying we'll do the best, but, you know, we will do everything
that's,
that we
that's
can.
That's great. Or you could always contact us again at Mental Health Matters, KRUUFM.com. I just had a wonderful example of a mother doing, she's been under a tremendous amount of stress. And her son had some of her 15-year-old kids come over. And they had the three of them talked about this intelligent discussion. They're all into football, into sports, and talking about Ray Rice and about him beating up his girlfriend and what should be done. And again, instead of her lecturing, she's asking them over, well, what do you think is appropriate? What would you say to the NFL? What would you want to do? Mm-hmm. What do you think's the answer? You know, and constantly putting it back on them to mm-hmm. think about it. And if, again, they could have those critical thinking skills regarding teachable moments, then when it comes to other kinds of choices, they could approach that. But I'm sorry, I was going to have you give your email again.
Oh, my email is K Bogle, so it's K B as in boy, OGLE, at CEDA, CIEDA.org.
Thank you so much.
Again, CEDA stands for
Southern Iowa Economic Development Association. All
right. Okay, thank you. So tell us a little bit more about some other avenues of prevention that somebody who's listening in might be able to take up. So take a specific area that you want to address.
For prevention itself? Prevention is such a broad area.
So just take children.
Children, okay. I'll just tell you one of the interesting things that I do and one of the fun things that I get to do is go in and work with elementary school children. We teach them a program called Brain Power. So we teach them about the brain and how it works, and then eventually how drugs affect the brain. Mm. Very interactive, very hands-on. And, you know, what's important to me is we start, you know, with the third graders. And with prevention, it's on a continuum. So you need to work with elementary school kids, middle school kids, high school kids, then jump to college. I mean, you can't just do a one-shot program and expect it to stick or, you know, change everything with kids. So when you're talking about prevention, it has to be on that continuum, and you have to focus your message on every aspect of their age as they grow. So that's kind of what we try and do.
And so what's some of the messages you would tell them regarding development, brain development?
Well, when we talk about brain, you know, we actually teach them, you know, in easy terms, you know, the different parts of the brain and how it works. And we actually teach them about neurotransmitters, the chemical messengers in the brain, how drugs affect those messages when they're being sent, you know, from the brain to the body, and how drugs can disrupt those neurotransmitters.
And they understand those.
And they do, you know, because we do some really hands-on activities to teach them about it. And they do remember. And it's really cool for me to go back in year after year, and they know who I am. And if I ask them about neurotransmitters, they remember the message. I mean, they remember what's going on. So we try and use a lot of different ways to teach. You know, we do the hands-on, and we do the visual,
so
and the auditory.
So a parent who's listening to this would think, use all of the senses.
Yes.
And don't think your kid can't understand things. Be where they're at and go to where they scale them up to where you need them to be.
And it's never too early. We even talk to parents about poison prevention. So children that are very, very small can still understand, you know, what can hurt me, you know, things that can, you know, that can hurt me if I touch them, or different things. So it's never too early to start prevention. It may just be poison prevention for very, very small children. And then as you work up to where they are, you can tackle bigger issues. So don't think it's ever too early to start educating children. It's not. So,
well, thank you so very much. I'm so glad both of you came in today. What a wonderful talk. And do stay in touch. Any last words?
I'm very, very grateful that we did have the opportunity to talk about this very, very important subject. Thank you very much.
And we'd love to have you guys back.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love it.
Absolutely.
Great show. And again, you are listening to KRUU 100.1 FM radio, solar-powered radio, Fairfield, Iowa. This is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler.
Bye, everyone. Have a great day.